and the race for district attorney in Sullivan County. The ballots have been counted. Acting District Attorney Megan Gallen won the DA race and will now be the first female district attorney in Sullivan County's history. On the phone with us now is District Attorney-elect Megan Galligan. Thank you for joining us, Megan.
Thanks very much. Nice to hear from you again.
Yeah, it's good to have you on again. Well, so first off, congratulations on winning the race. How do you feel?
Thank you. I'm very happy, clearly, about it, me and my team, my family. But we're also proud of the campaign that we ran, that we stuck to the issues, and we ran a clean campaign about the actual issues in the DA's race, because we are facing substantial challenges moving forward in the criminal justice world, particularly surrounding this national conversation that it's about time that we had. So we're ready to face those challenges head on, continue the programs that we started when I took office this January as acting district attorney, and really prove to everyone who supported us and voted us for us why we did that.
You know, we've got the normal question that, I mean, we'll get to is, what are some of the goals that you have for, you know, now that you're officially the district attorney? But preceding that is just this notion of, is it like a clarifying thing to know that you're going to be in the job that you've already been doing since January? Or is it kind of like, hey, you know what, we've just been waiting to clear this up, and I'm just going to keep doing what I've been doing? Like, is it like, okay, now I'm ready to do something, or have you just been doing it?
I think it is an important moment, because as the acting district attorney, clearly we wanted to bring to this office some new ideas, but we did so knowing that the voters would have a choice this November, and that the choice would be to continue on in the direction we're moving or to choose a different path for the district attorney's office. So we did implement those new programs that I really think are very important and have to continue. But now with the assurance that we have 4 years to really see those through and let the people of Sullivan County know that we're making a difference in that way, I think it is a big, important mark. So I'm very proud of the work that we've done over the last 11 months, but I'm very much looking forward to having 4 years to continue and deepen and strengthen those programs.
Any examples of what you're looking forward to doing then in the next 4 years?
Sure. Well, this year we started based upon grant funding work that I had done as chief assistant district attorney prior to this year. We started Sullivan County's victim advocacy program, hiring our first dedicated DA's crime victim advocate. And she works about 40 to 50% of her time with our child advocacy center. That's been a passion project of mine to centralize resources for the child victims of physical and sexual abuse in Sullivan County. And we can really do a lot of good there. We have a team of very talented investigators comprised of state police investigators and a district attorney's investigator who work every day with members of the Child Protective Services Unit of the Division of Family Services in Sullivan County. And those very experienced child protective workers, they're working together, and every day they review all hotline reports and police reports of physical and sexual abuse of children in Sullivan County. And they take on those most serious cases. What the Child Advocacy Center is going to do, and what it has been doing with this grant funding, is make it so that these children can become comfortable in one place. They can have their family services interview, their police interview, their counseling, their trial preparation, all in one place that's a child-friendly place. It's not a scary or sterile environment. It's very child-friendly, and, you know, they can get comfortable so they're not re-traumatized by the criminal justice or family court systems. I think it's so important, and it's often easily overlooked in Sullivan County because they do such a good job. I think we need to recognize it. We need to strengthen that program. And our victim advocate, the other half of the time is working on behalf of the victims of other crime in Sullivan County. Whenever we have a crime referred to this office or an arrest made that does involve a victim who's either out money or has been physically harmed or harmed psychologically, our crime victim advocate is available to connect with that victim, not only to educate the victim about the criminal justice process and upcoming court dates and things like that, but also to connect that victim to resources that they might not know exist. Sullivan County does have available to us through the state victim advocacy program now several services, including mental health services, services to recover money losses and the like, that this crime victim advocate is specifically trained to bring to Sullivan County. One of the other things that I'm really proud of is that she has specific training in the area of human trafficking. And human trafficking is happening throughout New York State. It would be naive of us to believe that we're immune to it. She's connecting with our local police and will be connecting with community members to heighten awareness of human trafficking and how it can happen. And I'm really proud of that work. Certainly this year I've spent a lot of time with her educating myself on the issue. And it's time that these issues come to light, whether it's labor trafficking. We do have a labor trafficking investigation that's been somewhat publicized over the course of this year that she's been instrumental in, or sex trafficking or other kinds of exploitation of marginalized or minority workers. That's really important program that we want to strengthen and deepen. We also want to get into the schools and connect with kids who may be disadvantaged, and maybe we can bring to them resources, again, that can keep them from falling into the criminal justice system, that can connect them to the police in a positive way and make connections in our community through community policing that I know every one of our local police forces is committed to doing. So we're really proud of these programs. We want to deepen them. I didn't mean to be long-winded, though, Jason. I'm sorry.
That's okay. But as I'm listening to all these things, what's striking to me, and you can take out any words that I'm putting in your mouth, but the common thread that I'm hearing here is a sort of an understanding of criminal justice and criminal justice and law enforcement that encompasses the whole community, meaning that, you know, it can't just be one approach. You have to approach it in many different ways, and also you have to address many different needs and many different backgrounds in the people that you're serving.
That's exactly right, and that was one of my biggest commitments when I took on the role of acting district attorney, was to open up the doors of the office and connect with members of the community, whether they're community leaders in the religious area or social area, leaders in school settings, open it up and let the community know the good work that's going on. We have so much to be proud of in our criminal justice system. So many police who really are committed to fairness and equality and justice, that the community should know that. So that's been a big focus of mine. And on the flip side, if the community has a concern or identifies a problem or a need before it becomes a problem, they should feel comfortable coming to the district attorney and having those conversations. We know that the average person on the street often wouldn't be comfortable walking into the district attorney's office and requesting a meeting, but they would be comfortable with leaders in their own portion of the community or their own area of the community. So they can relay those concerns or that information to a community leader they trust, who should feel and absolutely must feel comfortable coming to the district attorney and talking. Otherwise, we're not doing our jobs properly. So I have spent a lot of time this year connecting with community leaders, making sure that they're comfortable calling me or showing up at my office to have conversations about concerns before they become problems, or problems to see if we can resolve them in a mutually satisfactory way. And even if we can't, any disagreement we have should be respectful. We should understand each other's points of view. That's been a big commitment of mine coming to this office as its leader in January and going forward for the next 4 years.
Along those lines, I think fitting in nicely under that approach is the work that needs to be done to meet with Governor Andrew Cuomo's executive order that local municipalities and law enforcement agencies across the state all have to have a police reform plan into his administration by the 1st of April, this coming April. I'm wondering two things. One, how is that process going in the county in your assessment? And two, what do you view as your office's role in this?
I think our police departments are doing a good job preparing for this. Obviously, they had to centralize and distill their existing policies so that they can have intelligent conversations about those policies with small groups of community members in their respective communities. They've done that. They're starting these centralized focused meetings throughout the county. Basically, every police agency that receives state funding must conduct a review of its use of force and other policies and present its findings and recommended changes and adopted changes to the governor by April 1st of next year. So there is proposed by the governor a phased plan. We are through the phase of preparing our existing policies for conversations and into the next phase of having these small conversations with members of the community. But one of the most important phases that we'll be moving into in January, and that's consistent with the governor's proposed timeline in January for police departments to move to public hearings. And I think I want it to be extremely clear to the community that everyone is invited to these public meetings, and everyone who wants their voice heard or wants to engage in these conversations with their local police or county police forces should attend these meetings. Everyone is invited, and everyone's voice is important in developing these policies and procedures. My role is as a participant, both as a leader of our law enforcement community and a member of the Sullivan County community. I was just at one of these meetings, small focus group meetings last week in the Village of Liberty with its police force and members of the community, and it went extremely well. And what we find is we can all agree on these basic core issues of human rights and equality and fairness and connection to the community. And when we look each other in the eye and have those conversations, I really saw the people in that room coming together for the greater good. In fact, one individual said, we need to have something to propose to the governor. You know, there really wasn't this big divisive thing. So he said, well, what's our problem? What's our problem that we need to solve? And we need to recognize that nothing is perfect, and we're not perfect as people. We're not perfect as police. Nothing is perfect in this human world. But when we're doing things right, we need to recognize it. And I thought that was a really powerful moment at that meeting where this individual said to the chief of the police, you know, you're doing a good job, but we have to identify what we can do better. Yeah. Because that's the bottom line, and that's how we can all trust each other, when we all have that mutual understanding. So I was happy at that meeting to ask some follow-up questions to try to get to the core of what people were bringing up as their individual concerns. And I think that we did touch on some really important issues.
Well, that's good. We're going to have to get going in just a minute, along these lines, while you're talking about this process, I mean, a couple weeks ago, we talked to Sandra Johnson Fields, president of the Sullivan County chapter of the NAACP, and she's concerned that at that point that we had spoken anyway, her organization had not been able to get a representative onto any of these committees that are meeting initially. You gave us a quote saying you're looking forward to working with NAACP. I'm wondering if there's been any change in that, if they've been able to get a seat on any of these committees so far since we spoke to her a couple weeks ago.
Well, my understanding, and I haven't gotten the chance to connect with her personally, but yet, but my understanding is that members of the police community in various municipalities have reached out to let her know that as soon as these public hearings are scheduled, she'll be invited. As soon as they identify for themselves, because they are individual police entities, who will be in these next meetings, certainly the public will be kept apprised. But I think the NAACP is a really important organization in Sullivan County. And if they're not in these small focus groups, I do want them to be present at all of these public hearings because that's an important voice that should be heard. I also want the community to be assured that people of diverse viewpoints are giving their views in these meetings, and that is what I have seen. I have seen, members of the Black and Latino communities at these meetings giving their input. So I think it's important to include the NAACP because I think it's important to the community to see that so many members of various interest groups are represented.
Okay, and then real quick before we go, you're saying like you want the doors to be open, you want people to be able to reach out to you. Is there an ideal way for people to reach your office if they need to?
The best way is by phone, clearly, in this time of COVID. Mm-hmm. Our number is 845-794-3344.
Okay, well, formerly acting attorney, District Attorney Megan Galligan, now newly elected District Attorney Megan Galligan for Sullivan County, thank you so much for talking to us.
Thank you. Have a great night.